Welcome to Rust Belt Running. I am Andrew Hettinger, and joining me shortly with a coaching tip is Adam Wheeler. I'm really excited. This week, we will be reviewing the Mohawk Hudson River Marathon. I got a chance to sit down with Todd and talk about this race. It starts in Schenectady, New York, and ends in Albany, New York. The race took place in October, and Todd was kind enough to come on and give us a review and a few tips for the race. I enjoyed our time together. There are roughly 1,100 runners who take on the Mohawk Hudson River Marathon. And this past year, it took place on October 8th. A little weather breakdown for you. The high on October 8th, 2023 was 58 degrees Fahrenheit. The race start was 48 degrees Fahrenheit. Humidity for the day was 80%, and wind was just at 8 miles per hour. The averages are 64 degrees for the high and 49 degrees at the start. Very still wind. So weather for this race is optimal. And this is definitely, and very low elevation change too. So this is definitely a race to put on your, kind of on your radar if you're looking for a fast race. So yeah, I enjoyed this, and I'm getting ready to throw it to Adam for his coaching tip. But before I do that, I want to ask, is there a race that you've run recently that you'd like to review? Is there a race you're curious about that you would like to know more about? Drop us a line. Our DMs on Instagram are always open, and you can find us there at Rust Belt Running. You can also email us at rustbeltrunning@gmail.com, or you can go to our website, rustbeltrunning.com. There you can find out about our different offerings and run coaching and different ways to support the show, like checking out merch. We do strive to keep all our podcast content free without paywalls or ads, and we need your support to do that. Your listens and shares, your reviews, they're all part of that support. And we do appreciate all of you who have supported us throughout the years. All right. Well, I guess it's time. Here's Adam with his Rust Belt Running coaching tip of the week.
Here's a coaching tip from us here at Rust Belt Running. We're heading from January into February. It's still cold. We're still going to be training through some cold weather, and that means we have to deal with fluctuating temperatures and ever-changing weather conditions. And one of the things we want to make sure that you think to do is to make sure that if you're going to run outside, that you have a plan. There's really two things we're concerned about. One is making sure that your footing is solid, and two, making sure that if for some reason you were to slip, you were to get hurt, that you're going to be somewhere nearby where you can get help. And so having a plan is really important. As far as footing goes, really be very, very careful when you're dealing with icy conditions, with snowy conditions, situations where you're not really going to be entirely sure that your footing is going to be sound. Run in places where you know they're going to be plowed. Run in places where you're going to be close to traffic or close to houses, so that if for some reason you slip and fall, that you're going to be near somewhere where you can get help and get help fast. Also, dress with something that allows you to carry your phone, so that if you slip and would need to get help, that you're able to do that quickly as well. If you like more secluded areas, you like something like a bit of an out and back, maybe park halfway in between, where instead of going 8 miles out and 8 miles back, somewhere where maybe you can run kind of back and forth where you're never too far from your car, or run a loop where you're not going to be too far from your car. But really the big concern is we want to make sure that you don't go somewhere where footing is a concern, you could slip and you could get hurt. And then if you do, that you're near somewhere where you can get help fast, because when you start warming up, it feels comfortable to run outside once you start warming up. But if you suddenly have to stop, that core temperature is going to drop quickly. If you've gotten sweaty, that's going to further contribute to possible hypothermia. So we want to make sure that you don't run somewhere where you're going to be far from help and then you would see your core temperature drop too fast. Last consideration, if you can't run safely outside, another way to have a plan is simply to go and run on the treadmill. Treadmills are not fun for everybody, but they're a safer alternative to running outside in really, really bad conditions. It's not always the most fun, but it is way better to make sure that you're getting to the start line healthy than braving really dangerous weather, getting hurt, not being able to race at all.
Thank you so much for listening today. And before we get started, this is just one more reminder to like, subscribe, and review us on your favorite podcast platforms. It's one of the easiest ways to support the show and what we do. If you're looking for other ways to support us, head to rustbeltrunning.com, where you can learn more about our different offerings in run coaching, shop for merchandise, and all that fun stuff. Any way you choose to support us, we are most grateful for. So that formality's out of the way. Todd is with me right now. Hello. Are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's January and all the snow melted. Maybe I can get outside for a run again.
It did that here. I was short tights today. Very happy about that. So, Todd lives in the Boston area, and he traveled up to Schenectady, New York. Did I say it right?
You did. Good job.
That's near Albany, wow, their second race in New York. That is not New York City that we've done this on. We did Wine Glass a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that was my first marathon actually. So I've done three, and two were, one's this one, and one was Wine Glass.
So what's the reason you chose to go up there and run the full? I know that you wanted to run the Chicago Marathon, which was on the exact same day, and yep. You have not had the greatest of luck.
No, not at all. I keep getting denied. But what actually happened was I belonged to the Hopkinton Run Club, which is where the Boston Marathon starts. Mm-hmm. Just joined that, and it just so happened that in the Facebook group of that race, guy and his daughter had signed up, couldn't do it for whatever reason, so I just thought, hey, the timing was good. And I had always wanted to do Hudson Mohawk, you know, because I'm from upstate New York. Just had never done it. I've done a bunch of races there, but never did the half, never did the full. And I thought, I think maybe this is a sign. So we transferred bibs and split the costs and worked out good. And, you know, I can drive there in about 3 hours. So travel's not too bad. So. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, 3 hours. That's not bad at all. So definitely drive it. Easy to find. What's getting a hotel in a town of that size like? Or did you have family you stayed with being from up there?
My family all moved to southern New York, so they wouldn't have been close enough. But no, I mean, I've in my former work days, I have a ton of Marriott points, so I use those. But I mean, hotel wise, you get a hotel for $100. I mean, it's not, you know, we're not talking big city or anything like that. So, pretty easy to find one around, you know, and the race is like it's a one-way race. So you can, you know, a lot of people get bused from the finish back to the start. I happen to stay near the start, and the start, you can't park there, but you can just get dropped off. So I stayed near the start, and then my wife and my kid came and they just dropped me off at the start.
That sounds like you had it made right there. Any restaurants people need to know about in the area? This is a fun question. I'm just curious about that.
You know, I stayed down by the casino. It's called Rivers Casino in Schenectady. They have a whole complex there it's a casino, you know, obviously with a lot of food there. What's good is a chain called Druthers, and I went there that night. So there's one in Schenectady, one in Albany, one in Saratoga. If you stay up there, tons of people love Saratoga. So Saratoga Springs, famous for horses, of course, in the summer. I mean, this race is in October, so it'll be a little different, but upstate New York's beautiful in the summer. So, in the fall because of the foliage and everything, which is part of the appeal of the race. So
for sure,
I'm going to go with Druthers. Good food, good beer, good portions, good for carb loading.
I was going to ask if that was a before or after spot. Or just both?
No, it was before. They have some great pretzel bites, man. They're unbelievable.
Okay.
So you just crush those. Yeah.
Speaking of before the race, Expo, is there an this race has 1,100 people, so not a huge event. Right. What's the Expo like here?
Well, it's funny because I was thinking, like, leading up to the race, you wouldn't be impressed with it. You're only going to be impressed with it when you run it.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like the social media presence, there's like none. There's not even like, you know, any Instagram things. There's a Facebook group. But yeah, it was funny because like the day of the race, the weather was perfect, but driving there was like pouring rain, and we get there and the expo is like in a worse place than it used to be. So you have to drive to, we were in Cohoes, New York, which is like halfway point of the race. And you go to the Albany, I think it's Albany Running Exchange that puts on the race. I'm trying to remember. But anyway, you pull up and it's like inside of like a storage locker. I mean, it, like you look at it and you're like, oh my God, what is this? Like I wanted to do the whole expo, take a picture. It was unusable to take a picture. I mean, like I have to send you the picture to see it. I mean, legitimate, it looked like a very large storage locker. So, I mean, you walk in, it was concrete floors. There was probably 6-7 racks of clothes, but you were like almost outside, but it was raining. So it was like just miserable to get in there. And then you went to like another, it's almost like you were at somebody's like house. You went to another room and you were at a table and a couple of people were handing out bibs and that was it. I mean, there were too many people around, so there wasn't even time to look at anything. So
right.
Expo wise, this isn't it.
That sounds almost like my experience at the Erie Marathon back in September. It's basically held in like a picnic area of a park, and that's not an exaggeration. There just is a small space that is covered for them to keep the bibs and stuff. But yeah, just like yeah, it's just packet pickup for a 5K is what it felt like.
I've done much bigger races in the past, so this is not that, but
So let's we talked about the transportation to the start because you said you guys stayed near it and your wife and kid dropped you off there. What was the organization at the start like?
The organization was good. You were just in this trying to think of what it used to be. I remember it as a place I would watch airplanes when I was a kid because we used to have the Blue Angels come. I'm trying to think of what it is now. I can't remember, but it's not a senior center, but just a building with a big open space. But anyway, everyone goes to this open space in Niskayuna, which is where the start is. And it was fine. We were just all kind of like gathered out in the field, and the start's like, maybe 500-foot walk to where you were all gathered. And I mean, organizationally, it was very good at the start and lined everybody up ready to go. And the half, so the half starts at the same, the half actually starts at the same time, but it starts, 14 miles in or 13.1 miles in. So you never see the people from the half, and people get bussed. A lot of people, I think a lot of people bus over from Albany from the end to get to the start. But I got dropped off. So it's just kind of like a line of cars dropping people off and leaving.
That's interesting. I wonder what the the dynamic of the half starting, halfway through the race, with it being a point to point. That's just that feels like that would be a weird start. Like just nothing about the race really happening for the half marathoners right there.
Yeah, because there were some people I wanted to, just from being there, I knew some people doing the half, but I wanted to see them, but they weren't going to wait 2 hours for me to finish, and there's no way for them to like backtrack and see me, so I never ended up seeing them because they had left by then.
Yeah, that would be a tiny start. Yeah, you guys only had 438 marathon finishers. So yeah, you're there with 450 people or so, and that's it. And then you guys take off. Is there any issues with congestion at the start, like there is in a city race, or did this pretty you get right into the flow of things pretty quickly?
No, I mean you kind of quickly go down a hill there at where we start, and then you're out on it's called Aqueduct Road, which is really nice. It goes right by the Mohawk River, so you're looking at the river there. The sun was rising; it's beautiful. Most of the race, probably 18 miles of it's on a bike trail. So I've actually run on that bike trail plenty of times. It does get congested in the beginning because you're on that Aqueduct Road for probably a mile or two, and then you like hang a right into the bike trail. And that, in the beginning, it's pretty tight. And what happened was because it rained the day before, and the leaves coming down because it was fall. You just got to watch your footing a little bit. I mean, it wasn't dangerous. You just got to like be careful where you're going. It breaks up a lot, obviously, as you get going. But maybe the first 3 or 4 miles, well, actually, the first mile's fine. But like probably maybe mile 2 to 4, it's a little busy, but nothing terrible. But it's just, I mean, you're running on a bike trail, so.
Is it like a paved bike path or like crushed limestone? Like, what's that surface?
No, it's paved.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole thing's paved. Yeah.
And is so I'm curious too, is this like trying to, I guess, paint a picture a little bit for people. Is it like in the woods or is this like a bike path that's like next to a road
No, it's
kind of out in the
pretty
open?
upstate New York's pretty rural, man. So everything's like 25 years behind. So yeah, no, it's very scenic, pretty rural. I mean, there's people at points where they could gather. They actually have a very entertaining guide that they give you for spectators. It's like written very comically. It's very good on like where you should stop to see people. But there's large sections of the race. There's nobody there because you're just on the bike trail and there's like nobody around. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you're just in like the nice woods, I guess.
That's awesome. I mean, it just sounds like a training run.
It really is. But I mean, it's like perfect. It's like peak foliage when you're running, which is the best part. So it's really nice.
Do you have to worry about here in Ohio? We have to worry about walnuts that are a good size of a tennis ball. on trails and paths and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Any worry with anything like that on the course during this season?
I mean, maybe we get acorns occasionally, but the only thing is when like when the trail would like cross over like a street or something, there was always like a middle barrier thing there that you kind of didn't see coming if there weren't people around, so you almost had to like point to it. And it was like, it was not raised, so it was like on the ground and raised, but not like eyesight and raised. Of course, I'm tall, so I'm looking, you know, so you just got to be careful. You maneuver around it.
The thing to keep motorized vehicles from entering the path. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I have a buddy who whacked his knee on one so hard one time mid-run.
Yeah, yeah.
And he somehow was okay. What's the one question on everybody's mind when they're thinking about the start line of a race? What's the porter potty situation like? Gotta ask
that. Oh no, it was, I mean, I didn't need to use it, but it was, there was plenty. I mean, plenty. There was a lot. Yeah. And then there were some throughout the route. So yeah, that wasn't a problem with anybody.
How were the water stops on the course?
Good. I mean, I remember them being pretty regular. So, you know, I kind of like forced myself to do it, cause I wasn't like tremendously thirsty, but you know, trying to stay hydrated. So it was in the 40s and 50s. But yeah, I mean, couple miles, I mean, you know, right to the end, they were good. I mean, there was no issues with that at all. So like I said, the actual race, I mean, like leading up to like the, you know, the social media and the kind of the expo were funny, but once you actually like, once the race, like race day comes, it's pretty well organized, you know, the whole way through. So
it sounds like a race that's put on by people who run, and that is a big plus.
Exactly. And they have a lot of pacers too. A lot more pacers than I thought I would see at a race like that, especially for a smaller race. But they were everywhere.
All right. So take me to the finish line a little bit. What's some of the experience like here? Like, where does it finish? And is there any like fanfare for a race this size?
Well, I mean, the fans don't say the last. What happens is you're so. I'll note one very interesting thing for your listeners here that may not be apparent because it was in the pack and I didn't realize this and I wouldn't need to worry about it. But so you're on this road for a mile or so. And then, you know, you're literally on a trail for probably, you know, the next 17 miles. There is a break. So around mile 13, mile 14, you go to what's called Colony Town Park, which is where I saw my wife and my kid. A lot of people gather there because that's where the half starts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not exactly 13.1, but you get a lot of cheering through there and then it goes back to the woods. Anyway, when you get mile 18 to 22 are tough because you kind of go off the trail and you're in the city of Waterville, which is very, urban, I guess. It's just old. I mean, and it's kind of boring. You're just kind of like you're on a bike trail, but you're on a road with cars and it's not very attractive. Like the trail was much better. But anyway, you come down this hill around mile 18 and a half, there's a railroad crossing there. So in the packet, they tell you that if for some reason a train comes by, now they try to let the train know, it's like a Amtrak or whatever, or it might be a slower train, but like they try to let you know, but they can't control train traffic. So there's like mats there. So they would stop your time and like resume it once the train came by, but Boston won't accept that.
Right.
So if you're like going for a BQ and you get stopped by the train, the clock keeps ticking.
Yeah, that's happened a couple of times. And I can't imagine having gone for that goal myself and fallen short, but like I understand what it takes to get there and then to, you know, perhaps miss your qualifying standard or just miss that registration cutoff because of a train.
Yeah.
That would that'd be wild.
I didn't even realize like we had passed the train till later because it's like most of the race is slightly downhill. There's a uphill at mile between 3 and 4 and between 13 and 14. When you get down to like going into Waterville, the downhill is like really, really steep for like a tenth of a mile. So I'm like trying not to fall. And then I realized later that was a train crossing. So not only is it steep, but you could like run into the train if you're not careful. But anyway, so the last 4 miles, you're back on the trail and then you're getting to the city of Albany, which is cool because you can see Albany in the background. And Albany's pretty scenic, actually, if you look, you know, pictures of it. I know people wouldn't think much of it if you didn't know much about Albany, but it's pretty cool when you get to it. Although I was in the pain cave and I was struggling there, kind of walk running. But it was a nice day. It looks great down there. So once you get down to mile, you know, 25 and a half or so, that's when the crowds start. and everyone kind of gathers down there because they have, as you get towards the finish, they have seating. You're down by, that's the Hudson River at that point. So you're down by the center of, you know, the main port of Albany, and the water's right there, and you got flags, and they have all this cool seating and everything. And, you know, the finish is real nice. So it's a lot of kind of boredom reading, not boredom, but, you know, you're in the tough miles from 22 to 26, and there's not many people around. And a lot of the people where I was were kind of struggling, including me. You know, so, but as you get towards the end, that's when the crowds really pick up. So, and the end's really cool, though. I like the end.
When you said you have to see pictures to do it justice, I decided to look up Albany in October, and you weren't lying, man.
Yeah. It's nice.
That's a beautiful city. So, as you,
a lot of people know.
No, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was gonna say a lot of people know Albany because they've driven through it, but they like haven't. You know, that's mainly what it's known for, and haven't been there. But yeah, I mean, you know, when you tell people you're from New York, you know, it's always New York City in their mind.
Right.
But upstate New York's very different.
Oh, and it's a beautiful area too. I mean,
yeah,
some of those colors I hadn't seen before in these trees that I'm currently looking at. So. Pretty amazing stuff. As you get into the city and you start approaching that finish line, you know, some of your personal thoughts about maybe your race and what you were feeling at the time, but also just like, how was the, you know, organization as you crossed the finish and kind of entered that finishing chute?
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, you know, got my medal. One thing that people didn't like a little bit, I hadn't even noticed it at the time. I didn't mind it because, you know, I was happy to finish, but the same medal was given to the half marathoners and the marathoners. Like the medal says 13.1 and 26.2 on it. Some people were kind of hurt by that. That doesn't really bother me, but I thought the medal was fine. But I mean, and down there, and then I didn't realize this at the time, but they like take all the gear that was out of the locker there that was pouring rain that I didn't want to look at, and they bring it to the finish, and then I was more like, I have to want to buy something, especially since I finished. And then I wanted the 26.2 stuff, so that was in a nice area, so I did buy some stuff after I sat down for collected myself for 20 minutes. But yeah, the atmosphere and the day were nice, and it was pretty cool. So yeah, the finish was just as good as any other race. And you know, the nice thing is, you know, as far as people wanting to go see the end, I mean, you park, I mean, the walk is, you know, a few hundred feet. I mean, it's not like you're walking a mile back to your car or anything. So everything in that area is pretty close to get to and free, and you don't have to go too far. So it's not a busy area. So that was nice.
One thing I meant to ask at the beginning, and it, you know, makes sense to talk about it here. Did you use the gear check?
No.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Should ask that at the beginning.
I'm sure it would have been fine, but yeah, I might have needed to use it.
Do you know if they, I'm sure they did a drop in transport, I would imagine, where you would drop it at the start.
Yeah, they did.
They
did. Yeah, I saw it.
Okay.
That.
Nice. Did that. Sorry. Was there anything unique that the race did at the finish? You know, some races do like a PR bell or, you know, different things like that. Was there anything like that that they did for this race?
No, nothing I could think of. Plenty of good picture opportunities, but that's just the area you're in. But no, nothing that I got that was, I mean, I was trying to even think of like, if I ate something. I'm sure I did, but I can't even remember that.
Yeah.
I was glad to be done, but no, there might've been a PR bill. I just, it wasn't a PR, so I didn't look for it. But it was all good, but you know, just wasn't the day to have it, so.
Kind of regarding your whole experience with race weekend, can you give me two things that really stuck out to you?
Yeah, the scenery was just like unbelievable. So I mean, you know, you won't get more scenic than that. You know, I mean, if you're looking for a city race, this isn't it. But if you're looking to be in nature and, you know, nice paved trail, it would be that. And I think it's just a great course. I mean, I think if you're, you know, looking to get a PR, it's a really good PR course. And you know, I ended up just a little short, not a lot short, but I think it's well suited for that because it's pretty flat, not a lot of people around. I mean, if you feed off the energy of the crowds, this won't be for you. But, you know, it's good for a lot of people looking to run fast. So.
Right.
And the weather's always nicer at the time of year. So, I mean, I've heard, there's a guy in my run group who ran it once, and he was like, you know, it was the worst race of his life because it was 80 degrees or 75 degrees. But typically, I mean, 9 times out of 10, the weather's going to be good. So.
Yeah, I mean, their average race day start is 49 degrees.
Yeah,
that's pretty perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year you were 48 degrees. You were right on that average. So yeah, their weather looks pretty optimal. So,
it's a little later this year with the calendar, right? Because I think the way the calendar is, all those races are like almost like a week later or so from where they were last year.
You know what? Everything did seem early last year. Yeah, it's the 13th, and it would have been the 8th, I think, this year, right?
Yeah,
but
those 2 days make a difference.
Everything just seems so early. In 2023, I'm still saying this year when I'm referring to last year, but it seemed early, but whatever, it happened. Yeah. So
same day as Chicago. Good Chicago backup.
yeah. I was in Chicago that day, and we had weather just like you did. So yeah, you could have just.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of made some jokes about it, and
then I got rejected again just to make it, you know, complete. But actually, I'm looking to, like, this year, I'm looking to run Detroit, so that would be my.
You know, it's funny you should mention that.
Yeah.
We just recently had Marissa Ward on from the Cleveland Racing team. Oh, you do? Yeah, she joined us and talked about Freep on one of our more recent episodes. So she came.
I've run there in the past. I didn't run the marathon, but she would know the marathon well because she finished second, right?
Second. Yeah, 13 months after having a baby. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, she's really.
You go there. Would you do the international full?
Yeah, what happened was I was 2018. I had signed up and I'd gotten hurt, and I still wanted to go. So I ended up. I mean, there were some Instagram people there, so I did the 1 mile, the 5K, and then actually I reached out on a Facebook group and. Joined four other ladies who had somebody drop out, and I was on their relay team. So,
oh, nice!
It was fun because they all ran like 11-minute miles. So when I ran the third leg, I was in the U.S., not in Canada. Like, you know, I was probably running 8:20. You know, and it was the best feeling of my life. Like 8 miles and just passing hundreds of people. So it was great. So yeah, I had a lot of fun. It was a great race, but I want to do the whole thing. So.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that this year. I wish you the best of health. Going back to Mohawk Hudson real quick, would you do the race again?
Yeah, I would.
If you had somebody who was kind of thinking about the race and they were maybe on the fence, what would you say to kind of push them towards this event?
I mean, I think it's different than a lot of other races you can find, and I think it's big, but not too big. So, or just big enough, rather. I mean, it's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, 400 people isn't huge, but I mean, I think if you're looking for like a laid back race where you can, you know, you don't have to worry about people in your way, and you can finish a strong race and have good weather, and you know, pretty flat course, couple of hills, a little challenge. I mean, you know, organization wise, I mean, price wise, I mean, you're not spending thousands of dollars that you are at some race, and
right.
You know, like before and after, you can, you know, do whatever you want. It's pretty cheap up there. So I think there's a lot of advantages to that, you know, instead of, I know everybody wants the big races, but that comes with a cost. So this is a good race with less cost and good satisfaction.
I think what's interesting is, I mean, Albany is not a huge city, but it's not a crazy small town either. It's the capital of New York.
Right.
But you get to have a race like this where you are doing like a country point to point in that fall foliage. But then you get to finish like in an actual city with stuff to do. It's like, you know, it's not like you're finishing in like just some small place with one bar to go to. Like you could actually go out and have a good party after finishing. Here, so Yeah.
And like I said, you could go to, like, you know, a lot of people go up to Saratoga, go to Lake George, go up to the mountains. I mean, that's only, the traffic there is
Right.
minimal. So, I mean, that's only half an hour away if you want to go.
Yeah. Well, this was never a race that I had even heard of or on my radar,
Yep.
but yeah, I'm gonna look into this. Because I want to start
Yep.
exploring races more too. And yeah, Albany, just a new city to see. So
Yeah, I think any place is fun if you haven't been there before. So, that's kind of my thinking.
What's a tip you'd give somebody going to Albany to run this? Like, is there anything in Albany somebody has to do if they go there?
Just something, you know, Albany itself, probably not. That's why I always point to Saratoga, because that's where, you
Yeah.
know, in the summer, the that's where, you know, that's where it's at. I mean, just horse racing and all started. But I mean, I like, you know, I think upstate New York, just like the foliage draws people. So I think
Yeah.
anywhere you go in that area in the fall is just like a foliage leaf peeping. You know, it's very Vermont-like, to be honest with you.
Right.
So if you're looking for Vermont, but not to be in Vermont, I mean, I don't think people realize too, like, Adirondack State Park in New York is massive. I mean, it's like the entirety of like half of upstate New York. So, I mean, it's plenty to see up there, especially if you're an outdoors person.
All right. Well, I don't really have any more questions. Do you have anything else you'd like to say about Mohawk Hudson before you put a bow on
No,
this?
I always thought it'd be a good plug for the hometown, so I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate the time. So,
Yeah.
to everybody, thank you so much for listening. One more call to support us and follow us on Instagram at Rust Belt Running. You can reach out to us there if you have a race that you've run recently that you'd like to review, or if there's a race that you're curious about, you want us to get some more information on, you can reach out to us on Instagram or email us at rustbeltrunning@gmail.com. And Todd can be found on Instagram at 26.Todd. Did I get that
That's right.
right? All right.
You did. Very good.
So, Todd, thanks so much for joining me today, man. And
Yeah, appreciate it.
to all our listeners out there, thanks so much for listening. And until next time, enjoy your miles, everybody.